It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He's dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to the Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Happy to be here on a day off between a victory in Game 6 and what hopefully is going to be just a crazy atmosphere for a home Game 7 for our St. Louis Blues. Excited about doing the show today and very excited about having both of the fellas going to be on today. I know you guys love it when that happens, so let's not even mess around right now. Let's go ahead and bring in the new prognosticator, and I think I'm going to take him to Vegas because this guy, you know, if he says something's going to happen, it seems like it's happening these days. The one, the only, Jamie Rivers. What's going on, buddy?
Good day, my man.
Well, Mr. Hey, listen, I know Kimby likes to say that you sometimes want to change your last name to Kachuk, but maybe you should change it to Blay.
No. In all fairness, no. I've been a little bit, excited lately. And after game five here in St. Louis, game five here in St. Louis, I figured we looked like we were maybe turning a corner. And I know it's an odd time to look at a team and go, "Wow, shit." I know the whole world felt everything was crashing down. And that was it. Everybody sucked. And it's over, and the curse lives, and all that stuff. I just saw a different side of it, and I thought, you know what? I bet we're going to see a game seven back here. And so I made that bold prediction that, hey, we're going to see a game seven back in St. Louis. And, of course, I took some heat for that. People were kind of all over me and whatnot, and I stuck to it. Now, yesterday, moments before the team hit the broadcast on national TV, I had a little birdie throw me a text and tell me that Sammy Blais was going to play in lieu of Robbie Fabry. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a great call. Now, I'm not upset with Robbie Fabry. I think that he's been fine. You know, I think it's like, who else do you take out in that case? And so the lesser of all evils is to put in Sammy Blais for Robbie Fabry. Everybody's happy with that. Now, diving deeper into Sammy Blais, he's a guy who came out of the lineup because he hurt his ankle. You know, it's nothing to do with his performance way back when. And I've always liked him. All year long, we talked about this guy, and I thought to myself, this is a guy who can bring some energy. He's going to hit everything that moves, for sure. And he's playing with Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron. That tells me he's going to get a scoring chance, at least one, maybe two. And if that's the case, like, Sammy Blais has been known to put the puck in the net an awful lot. Maybe not at the NHL level yet, but everywhere else he put the puck in the net. So I thought to myself, you know what? This is going to be a great game for Sammy Blais. He's going to be a big factor, and I could see him being so excited and so jacked up that he's going to score his first goal. So there was actually a little bit of thought process into this. It wasn't just like, oh, yeah, what the hell? I'm going to throw it out there. But, lo and behold, there he goes with not just a goal, but a slap shot goal over the shoulder. And then I was sitting right next to Darren Pang when it happened. We both jumped up and we're high-fiving and he's yelling. He can't believe it. He's like, oh, my God, he scored. And then we're laughing about how he scored because it's a slap shot, which, I mean, just has to – it just screams that I have big balls and I don't care. Kind of that kind of a move, you
yeah,
know?
Oh, yeah.
Just awesome. So very happy for Sammy on that one, and certainly happy that the Blues will be coming back here for Game 7 on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was a it was an interesting game. I will say that that's the term I'm going to use, and I'm going to stick to it. I thought coming out, we get the early goal, and then they get kind of a, I don't know. I mean, I hate to use the term soft. I mean, got in between his legs. I mean, we see those things happen. Goalies want those back, but the second period was kind of an interesting period for me in the whole game because it was almost like it kind of got lulled down a little bit, and then you know you get basically just a great feed and redirection, and then it's like all hell breaks loose, and before you know it, it was pretty exciting. Like I said, the whole sequence, and I know we can't not talk about it. I mean, I'm sitting on my couch, and I think to myself, did that just happen? That did just happen. And I think he, you know, it's like, it was like an Anchorman where he says, Brick killed a guy. I mean, it was, I thought Parayko killed him. I felt like, I'm not saying that lightly, like to be ignorant, but it was like, holy shit, what just happened? And then I know the Dallas fans were freaking out, wanting a whistle blown. And it, you know, we would have been too. Like everybody's like, oh, and I'm like, listen, if Bennington was laying on the ice, we would all been like, why isn't the whistle blowing? So I get their fans' frustration, but what a sequence. I mean, I haven't seen anything like that in a long time, long, long time.
Yeah, it's odd because, you know, in this day and age, now I've seen it quite a bit, you know, over the course of my career, but, you know, back then you literally have to be flatlined on the ice for the referee to blow the whistle. You know, nowadays a little different. We're certainly taking care of the players a lot better, and so a lot of times a situation like that, the referee's automatic instinct is to blow the whistle because with the puck catching him up so high, it's really hard to differentiate whether that hit him in the shoulder, the neck, or even in the head. And if, you know, quite honestly, if you think that for 1 second it hit him in the head and maybe knocked him out, the referee has to blow the whistle there. So I don't know where the referee was positioned on that play, but in my opinion, he probably had to have a really good view and realize that it was the shoulder collarbone area that got nailed by Parayko's elephant gun. And then when Bishop goes down, I mean, if you read the rules correctly, that the team whose player is injured has to gain possession of the puck, and then the referee will blow the whistle unless the injured player's team has put themselves in a scoring position. So all that means is that if, you know, as long as Dallas doesn't touch the puck, they're not going to blow the whistle. But if Dallas does touch the puck, and let's say it's on a breakaway, well, they're still not going to blow the whistle. So in my opinion, the referee's got it right. It sucks because, yes, we would be losing our minds here today if that would happen to Bennington. But by the rule book, the way it's written, that's, you know, they called it the right way, and that's all we really want out of the referees. Now, hopefully Ben Bishop isn't seriously injured because, you know, look, he's a great kid, a local St. Louis boy. We cheer for him anytime he takes the net except for when he's playing against us.
Yeah, that's a, you know, for fans everywhere, you know, I mean, have, like right now we went through it, right? Like you're obviously connected to, you know, most of these kids that get drafted from this area, and it's such a big thing, and we are proud of it, right? You know, you think of, we think of hockey as like a Canadian sport, right, or a foreign sport, and the farther south you go, the less you hear about, you know, players making it. But the reality of it is having players drafted in the league from here almost makes this city feel special, right? So when one of your own is on the other side, it's like, well, I can like him every day but today. And then you see him go down, and let's face it, there's been some antics, right? You know, Bishop's been given as good as he's getting in the crease there, and so, you know, you have all those things going on, and I find it all to be, yeah, fun and entertaining. But I, you know, it did work out for us, but I don't know that you ever want to see somebody really get hurt, obviously. But interesting for sure. And then, as you brought up, you know, the Sammy Blake coming down, and I'm wondering, do you think it entered in his mind, I'm just going to take a ripper here because right now he's got to be a little shy?
Yes, for sure. You know, it can tell you that without a shadow of a doubt, that that's not the only reason that he chose that shot. But as a hockey player, I can tell you anytime I've ever come down and run one off the side of a goalie's head or anywhere near that, the next shot is going right back there. I'm buzzing the tower again. And the reason being, and as awful as it sounds, is that he's going to be a little gun shy at that point. You know, took one up high. The next one that comes at him, he's not going to want to take it up high again because, let's be honest, that sucks and it hurts. And so I'm sure Sammy Blais knew full well that he was wanting to go up high on Bishop, and I bet you Ben was probably playing a little more compact than he would have been had he not been hit in the collarbone, you know, a couple of minutes before that. So, yeah, Sammy Blais came down, says he saw the spot, and then probably wound up and made sure that he got it high and hard and put it right under the bar. So a lot of calculating going on in a very short period of time, but, yes, there was definitely thought behind that.
So you know where I'm going to go with this question, maybe. I'm going to say probably.
Maybe.
I think you know where I'm going to go. Would it surprise you at all if the Blues' first sequence, we don't see a shot or two up high? Game 7?
Oh, no. You're going to see them up high for sure. You know, first of all, Ben has always been, not always, as crazy as this is, because he's such a big goalie, I mean, he's susceptible up high. And now the only reason that that's true is because as a big goalie, he does go down a lot and doesn't always have to challenge. So he leaves you that little spot under the bar. And that's where, you know, he's been beat quite a bit in the series. If you look at all the tapes and then you look at the goals that have been scored, there's been quite a few that have been high, but high blocker side too. So, yeah, I think that you're going to definitely see the Blues go high on Ben. And I'm anxious to see, quite honestly, if he's in the net for game 7. You know, I know Jim Montgomery, after the game, his press conference was like, oh, no, Ben's just fine. You know, we're just decided to get him out and get Dolby in there for a little bit. But I don't know. You know, he went right off the ice, went right to the dressing room, and just for some reason, it seemed a little awkward to me. So I wouldn't be 100% shocked if he wasn't in the net for game 7.
Yeah, you wonder. Now, you know, him coming, like, I was kind of, how do I say this? I guess for me, him coming right out and saying, oh, he's fine, kind of was almost like, well, he'll definitely be in there. But, yeah, I guess you never know for sure. I think for me, the whole thing, you know, was probably like, it's not broke. But still, I mean, that's a vulnerable area, and there's no telling. Now, they wouldn't use as an excuse just to change something up, would they? I mean, Bishop obviously hasn't been the problem. I mean, I don't believe they would think that for sure.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, you're not going to take out what your best player all year or your Vezina contending goaltender. There's no way. If he comes out, it's because he's legitimately hurt and they feel that, you know, he can't help them even if he's injured. So I think, like I said, I have no reason to believe for sure that he won't be in for game 7, but it wouldn't shock me if by chance he was hurt or that collarbone that got hit by the puck, it might be broken. And then, you know, then what? So then they're going to have to do that. So we'll see.
Yeah, that was a, let me tell you, it was an amazing sequence. And, you know, the thing was, I don't know, like for most people at the very beginning, I didn't realize that Schwartz tipped that puck. I thought, we just turned and fired and it was an empty net and it went in, and you look back on it and you think, you know, what an amazing sequence. And it obviously had a huge role in how the game played out. But how about Jaden Schwartz? I mean, here's a guy that we talked about numerous times throughout the year. You know, there were times we felt like his game might be lacking, but there were other times where we were like, he's not scoring, but he's playing well. How do you, like, great for him. We love Jaden Schwartz. How do you explain this? I mean, does the high motor get the worm, so to speak, in the playoffs?
Well, no, I think he, you know, we've talked about it at length a lot this year, is sometimes you just get snake bitten, and thank God he is a guy that works hard, because that's what, you know, that's honestly what kept him in the lineup. I think that, had he not been such a hardworking guy and had he not been able to contribute in other ways, then it probably would have been hard for him to stay in there. And Craig Berube would have been probably stuck in a situation where he had to take him out. Now, fast forward to the playoffs, and now you have a guy who's been, you know, like you said, just motoring all year long, not scoring goals, but working real hard. And you get a chance to wipe the slate clean. So everybody in the league starts at zero goals. Now, you know, it gives you like a rebirth almost to give it another shot to get out there. And so, you know, Schwartz is that guy. And it didn't start right away. It's not like he scored right away. It took, what, 3, 4, 5 games before he scored in the Winnipeg series. And ever since then, now he hasn't been able to stop scoring. So, you know, he works so hard. He started to go to the front of the net. And that's one thing I will say, is that his play has changed a little bit too, where he's playing a lot more inside the dots, where for a big portion of this season, I felt like he was on the perimeter. Yes, he was buzzing, but he was outside of all the action. And I find that, you know, since that Winnipeg series to start this, he's found himself inside the dot, inside the house. And if you look at a lot of his goals, if not all of them, they're right in and around the net. And, you know, that's a tough spot to get to when you're a smaller guy. But obviously Schwartz, he's sacrificing to get there, and he's being paid off in full here right now. So hopefully he keeps it going.
Well, I'm looking for the recipe for success here in Game 7, Jamie. You know, we can't deny how good the Blues have been on the road. You know, I'm sure Blues fans have felt like, you know, we had a chance here to, you know, you look at the series, right? Like, we had a chance here to go up 2-0. We had a chance here to go up 3-2. You know, we have a chance to win a series here, you know, 4-3. What's the recipe for success at home to kind of almost duplicate the success we've been having on the road?
Well, you know, it's a weird thing. It really is. You know, I think that they've just got to focus on playing a simple hockey game. And I know people say, well, why wouldn't you just play simple at home and just do what you do? Why are they trying to do things different? You don't do it automatically. You don't go out there and say, hey, well, by the way, yeah, I'm going to try and play a little more difficult today and really screw things up. You know, that's not the thought that goes through their mind. You know, but you get in front of your fans, and, you know how passionate your fans are. You know how bad they want to win and how bad they want the team to win. So sometimes you tend to overdo it, you know, overthink situations, you know, maybe not shoot as much as you should, or instead of making the easy play to get it out of the zone or get it in the zone, you're trying to find the guy through, you know, three legs and a stick that's in the way, and you think that you can squeeze it in there, and then it starts to bite you a little bit because, you know, the home fans get a little restless, and you can feel that tension in the building, and players start to react that way. Meaning that they grip the stick a little tighter, and you become a little bit more aware of your surroundings at that point. So, you know, for me, I just think that these guys got to go out there and put the foot on the gas right away, just like they have the last couple of games, but keep it there. You know, I do believe we're going to see a different Blues team. I think that last game, you know, the game in Winnipeg where Schwartz scores at the end of the game to win it, when we came back here the following game, we were a different team. We just were. And I really feel like that's where we're at now. I think that the Blues have kind of figured out that, hey, these guys aren't that great. We can beat them. And I think that we're going to have a little bit of that swagger going into Game 7. You know, to me, the first period is always huge in these types of games, because if you can't establish your game at all, then you're kind of screwed. So first period, first shift, everything is going to be magnified big time. I just think that the Blues are going to thrive in this environment. I think that they've had more adversity than the Dallas Stars have had this year, even though, you know, their president called out two players. Well, okay. Yes, that sucks, and I didn't approve of all that that went on, but the Blues were last place, and everybody in the building was being traded, and coaches were being fired, and people were canceling season tickets and burning jerseys and things like that, right? And now look where we are. So I think the Blues still have a lot to accomplish. I think they have a lot to prove. And I just think that that adversity that they've gone through will muscle them through game seven.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, it should be crazy. I was going to ask, you know, Kimby had talked a little bit on the last show about how the players, you know, you wonder sometimes, you know, do the players really feed off the crowd? Like, you know, Blues fans like to believe that when they do their best, it helps the team. And, you know, so do baseball fans, football fans, everybody thinks that. And Kimby's like, oh, no, for sure. He's like, you feel it in the building. You feel the energy. In a situation like this, when stakes are high, you wonder sometimes, can you as a player almost go too far? Like, can you almost get overhyped to where maybe you miss an assignment, or you miss a play, or you over try to do too much? Is there that too for a player that you almost got to reel it in a little bit?
Oh, totally, and that's usually the biggest problem. And quite honestly, your home crowd, although it's your best friend for a lot of the time, it can be your worst enemy because it just gets you so hyped up. And you go out there and you run around trying to make a big hit. You miss a guy. You're trying to, you know, make a really sick pass or a great play, and it's not the right play, and it gets picked off. It ends up in the back of your net. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, how things can spiral in the wrong way for the home team, is that you are so amped up to play well, and when things maybe don't go well right away, or you put yourself in a bad position because you're too hyped up, then it starts to go the other way, where you feel the crowd not necessarily turning on you, but you feel like that inside. I've made a couple plays, and oh my God, I'm way too hyped up. Your coach is telling you to settle down and, you know, get into it. So yeah, it absolutely has that effect on players, and that's the one thing that you have to be very, very careful about while playing at home. It is keeping your head screwed on straight.
Well, I mean, I hate to put you on the spot here, but if you're going to be making predictions and they're going to be coming true, do you have one for us, or do you want to stay away from this one?
You know what? I'm going to stay away for now.
Pay attention to Twitter before the game starts, it sounds like.
Yeah. I'm gathering information as we speak, and hope to have a solid prediction just shortly before game time on Tuesday.
You're going to be like one of those 1-800 numbers for Vegas, you know. Hey, call me in for my Super Blues play. I'm gathering information as we speak. It's like, oh my Lord. But
those guys make a lot of money.
They do. I wonder what the return would have been on throwing down a hundo on Blais to score last night in his first NHL game. First playoff game. You probably would have had a nice return there.
Now, I did have a little bit of inside scoop on that, though.
Oh, okay, I know. Well, hey.
Having been one of a very few, a very small club myself, playing in your first NHL playoff game, scoring in your first NHL playoff game, I knew that Ben Blais could accomplish this feat and join the club with me.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting prognostication by you. This I'll be paying attention. I think all of our fans will be paying attention. Before I let you go, lots of things going on with you. We're hoping to get everybody back in studio here, but you got a lot going on for all the Blues fans out there. Typically this time of year, you know, people are starting to think about summer, but a lot of players that want to get better at hockey, they're thinking about camps and lessons. I know Synergy Hockey Skills got a lot going on.
Yeah, we got a full slate for summer camps coming up. All you got to do is go to synergyhockeyskills.com, click on summer camps, find a location and a date that works for you guys, sign up. We do have a couple that are in waiting list mode, but those waiting lists will get converted into full camps if we get enough people. Also, we have lessons that go on in power skating as well under small group training. So we go and check those out. And newly added adult synergy hockey camp, the skills, spills, and thrills camp. Make sure you check that out. It should be a lot of fun. I said before, you're going to go through the same skills practice as the NHL guys do, except instead of protein shakes, you'll probably have a couple of barleys after.
Yeah, that one should be interesting. I'm trying to figure out who's going to have a little more fun with that one, you or the people that are actually participating. That should be good.
You never know, buddy.
You do never know. Well, listen, man, I know you're busier than can all be, and you got a lot going on, and I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy day to come on and talk a little Blues hockey. And my guess is, I won't say for sure because we'll have to see how busy you guys are, but my guess is we may be in studio on Wednesday, and hopefully we're talking about the semifinals and how we're going to approach this thing.
Hopefully we can. This ship going, buddy.
All right, pal. I appreciate you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right. The one, the only, Jamie Rivers. Again, pay attention for that prognostication that we're going to be getting from him on game day. I'm excited about it, as I know you guys probably are too. He's been pretty good lately at picking some things out. So if he feels good, I feel good. So good stuff as always. Obviously you heard him talk about synergyhockeyskills.com. We appreciate them. We do want to thank the Nelson family, nelsonlandservices.com, for their continued support of the show. 5-star locally rated landscaping company at reasonable prices, and just a tremendous family that's known throughout the amateur hockey community. And they do this really just to support and have the opportunity to talk about some of the things that are important to them. Obviously you've heard us talking lately about Stephanie, who is dedicating some of her time to a great, great program in St. Louis that's doing for these kids that want nothing more than to help some of these young hockey players that have to fight this terrible, terrible disease called cancer. And basically, at the end of the day, it's people stepping up and kids stepping up for their fellow players. And you guys can learn more about that. I think it's a tremendous thing. I know their event is it's today at the St. Peter's Recplex from 6 to 8. I hope you guys spend some time over there. St. Louis Youth Hockey Fights Cancer Center event. Great stuff as always. And, again, just another example of the St. Louis hockey community coming together to help others that need their help. So we thank her for everything that she does, and it does mean a lot. But I want to remind everybody about our good friend Randy Green at InnovativeCompanies.com. He does so much for us and allows us to keep doing the show with his continued support. He's asking for an opportunity for your business as well. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. He's got a construction team, a heating and cooling team, and an electric team ready to go and do work for you. That's Randy Green, 35 years experience. He's a second generation craftsman. And folks, everybody I know that meets the man will always tell me, you're right. Like when you describe him, and sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, well, Jim's talking about Randy again. But then when somebody meets him, they're like, I get it. I see why you do it. He truly is a guy's guy, right? He's a man's man, and just a great all-around human being, and does tremendous work. So he's earned that opportunity for your business. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Also want to thank our friends at Adam Smokehouse for their continued support, located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Get your orders in as soon as possible for your box lunch orders if you're looking to take care of the office or some parties or events. They do great catering services. They book those out in advance and get pretty busy there, so you need to get a hold of them and find out if you can get in that rotation there. And, of course, they do deliver to certain zip codes. Find out if you can get a delivery of Adam Smokehouse. I wish they delivered here, but I understand that we're a little far from them. But I think I'll be heading over there Thursday. You can stay tuned to Twitter. We do a lot of stuff with Adam Smokehouse, and I got to tell you, I'm glad that we do. Another gentleman, that loves that place is the Ribs, because they've got the Ribs special. You know, that's where he and I go. I pay for it, and he gets himself some brisket to go. But we always like to say hi to Mike and thank him for his continued support as well. All I can tell you is, folks, I think it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. That's Adam Smokehouse. St. Louis, here's your cue. I want to thank our friend Noel Buckingham Pest Services. You guys, I'm telling you, he's earned an opportunity for your business as well, and his support of our show means a lot to us, and I know it means a lot to you guys out there as well. Everybody has pest problems. Everybody needs sprayed for bugs. Everybody's got stuff going on in their house. You got to take care of that. The worst thing you can do is wait until it's too late, and then you got to go in and fix a problem that's already there. So get yourself on some kind of program with our friend Noel Buckingham and Buckingham Pest Services, located on the Missouri side of the river. Again, I say this only because It means a lot to us when people want to partner with us. And I know you guys really appreciate the show. We have to take care of these guys, folks. So I know you need pest control. I know you need pest service. Everybody does. If you're a homeowner or if you rent or whatever, wherever you live, you certainly don't want bugs in your house. And there's one thing we know about Buckingham Pest Services. They do not kill penalties, but they do kill pests. And they pass the savings along to you. That's our friend Noel Buckingham with Buckingham Pest Control. Pay attention to their social media pages, folks. You guys may have an opportunity to win some stuff there. All right. Let's get another point of view and one that I think we can all respect. It's time for the man, the myth, the legend, Darren Kimble. What do you say, Kimby?
Hey, my man, what's going on?
Well, just got done chatting with Mr. Rivers, and he seems to be on a roll lately for making predictions, but I couldn't get a prediction out of him for Game 7. But
I call him Kreskin now. So
yeah,
you know, he's fucking reading everybody's mind. He knows what's going on in the world. So we call him Kreskin.
I was gonna say you gotta have a big brain for Kreskin. but it's working out. I know he likes to give you shit, but evidently somebody's got the biggest, and he's definitely got the biggest head in the room. I just don't know figuratively, but he's definitely got that for sure.
But they asked me who I thought, and I said the Saskatchewan boys in Winnington, and my guys all come through, and I don't get no credit. What the fuck?
That's true. This is true. Let's remind everybody. Hey, listen, he's the one that's out there, right? You can't turn on a radio or a TV and not see him, which, hey, good for Rivs. Good for us, too, because I think more and more people are listening to us every day. So
I guess TV standards have gone down a lot because he was a face for radio before, so they've gone down a lot.
Oh, boy, something else. I know people are dying for you two to get back in here together, so hopefully that's going to happen here soon. And hopefully it happens because we're talking about a semifinal involving our St. Louis Blues. We did talk about a few things. You know, obviously, you know, it was an exciting Game 6 and some crazy things happened. The whole Pareko sequence and getting the goal, but I don't think people – like, obviously that made it 3-1. But let's not forget that, you know, the game was 1-1 and it kind of lulled out a little bit. And I mean, we looked kind of dead. And then all of a sudden we get a great play on the passing play to Perron. And, you know, that's the kind of goal in the past when things haven't went well for us that has went the other way. And when that happened, I thought, wow, that was the kind of goal that usually happens to us, not for us. So your thoughts overall on the game, I guess.
Well, the Perron goal was kind of funny too, because I was sitting at home and I'm going, when the hell are you going to wake the hell up? You know, where's one of these guys going to come out and score? And Perron had a good year, and I'm going, you know, maybe it's time for you to light the lamp again here, buddy. And then all of a sudden, boom, he scores a goal, you know, and because I don't think he's been playing as good as he had been for the season. So, and then you get it, you know, but in the second period, I think Bennington sits there and I think he shuts the Ford down. So it kept the team stable. I think the team was playing more defensive hockey on this game also. I think the defensemen were staying back a little bit more. I think it was an all-around good defensive game for the Blues with the goalie playing well. And then they got timely goals again, which that's the way they've been playing for the last, you know, half the season here. That's what's got them on this win streak. So I like the way they played. I don't think Dallas played as good as they can. I thought, well, that was probably one of their weaker games in the series so far. So, you know, you get to Game 7 and all shit breaks loose now. And, you know, it might be just one shot and one goal and then someone's moving on, right?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing. We talked a little bit and you can talk about, I had mentioned the Rivs that I had asked you last week about, you know, we feel as fans that, you know, when we do our part and cheer that it helps. And you said, no, it does. I mean, you as a player, you can feel it. Actually, a Game 7, I mean, gosh, I would have to imagine that it's going to be crazy over there tomorrow night. It better be. Do you almost have to – I asked him, do you almost have to reel it back a little bit and not find yourself making mistakes because you're too jacked up? If you go into a Game 7 in this type of situation, Kimby, what's the best advice you could give a young player?
I go by the theory, and I keep it simple, stupid, and the old KISS theory. And, you know, the puck has to get out at the blue lines. The nowadays, the way the game's played now, it's not so much that you got to get it into the blue lines, but little chips inside the blue line where guys can get on the puck. You know, you listen to Berube speaking, when they talked to him on the bench, they had to get more pressure on the defense. And, you know, that's this whole series. Whatever team's going to put the pressure on the defense the most usually ends up being the team that's going to win the game. So, you know, you're ready to work. You don't overextend your shifts because, you know, these top lines are going to, you know, everything's on the table right now, man. So, like, there's going to be some defensemen that are going to probably play a lot of minutes. Your top four are for sure, and maybe your top two are going to play a hell of a lot more. And, you know, I think you empty the tank out because you need to fight for another day. So, I, as a young kid, like the Thomas kid, you know, you're just going to have to just keep going along, prodding along, and maybe he could be the hero here too. You know, and, you know, he's got the capability, and maybe this some unknown kid that hasn't scored anything, maybe he's the one that pops it in. Who knows? But you're going to have to be ready for everything. Everything's on the table right now.
You know, this Rivers, you know, he keeps making predictions, and I know, like you said, you're calling him the Kreskin. Do you got one for us? You got a player that you think, you know what, this is our guy? Or I know, obviously the easy one is, you know, just keep letting Bennington do his thing here. But you got any predictions for us?
I like my guy that's gonna be. I think Shin, and I think he's sitting there, and you know, he's playing well. You know, he's been a little snake bitten here with the goals and that, but. And you know, him and Schwartz, he's around the net and things are hitting him right now and they're going in the net. But here's what my thing is, just a little off the table, but I'm watching the game yesterday and I seen, and I don't really even want to bring it up. It's a little negative, but I'm watching Tarasenko sort of having a little pouty ass mood on the bench. And I think I see the coach getting his ear and, you know, started talking and pumping him up, and I'm going, fuck man, you're in game six here. Why are you playing this shit right now? You know, it's not like you're sitting on the bench. So I was a little taken back by that. Because, you know, Tarasenko is a guy that the Blues need to score goals. And, you know, he's a little snake bitten here. He's not scoring even strength goals, which would be a huge factor if they could get a couple goals from him in this game. But, you know, I think I don't know if he's pouting or if he's being hard on himself or whatever you want to call it. But a coach shouldn't be having to sit there and pump your tires up at this point in time.
You know, I saw that. I guess that's not like I thought. It looked to me like he had gotten into something on the ice. He got popped pretty good, and then he went after, and then it was I didn't see the pouting on the bench. I thought the coach come up to him and was like maybe giving him like a, hey, you know, don't get caught up in a bunch of this shit. So
yeah, I don't know. I think something's going on there, and I've seen it before with him, and I just wonder. I just look at his you know, you watch people's language when they're playing the game, their language in that, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here at all, but. That's one of your best players, and I'm just watching him here, and it doesn't look like he's on the same page as a couple of the top, like these other guys are. You know, O'Reilly's fighting it, but at least he's working, so you can't, you know, the kid's trying to get there, and I just don't know if this guy's doing it, though.
Well, then, are you saying that's going to be your guy this game, game seven? You're going to get a little something out of him?
Well, I think if Tarasenko can score, I think the Blues are going to win this game either way, but I think if Tarasenko scores, I think that sort of maybe puts them over the edge to get to that point. But I think they win. I would like them to see play a game six if they played against Winnipeg. If the Blues can come out and play that kind of game where they're really stingy on the defense and the forwards are getting on the forecheck, if that's what they can do, I don't see Dallas beating them in this one. So hopefully that's the you know, I don't know what they're talking about in the rooms and all that shit, but hopefully that's what they're thinking about.
Yeah, interestingly enough, Rivs brought up the game, the comparison to the Winnipeg game, that because, you know, we talked a little bit about the home, and you know, like you would think you'd have advantage at home, and but they've done really good on the road. But true momentum, and like he said, when they got the late goal from Schwartz in the Winnipeg series, there was true momentum there. And you know, he kind of felt like the sequence of events that happened at the end of this game six may lead to some true momentum coming home that we may see just like we did against Winnipeg. And boy, wouldn't that be a welcome sight? Because I got to tell you, I don't know how many more Blues fans, I don't know how many more nails they have left or how many more heart attacks they have to give.
Yeah, you see, and that's what, here's what game seven is. This is what home ice advantage, and you hear all the, and like, I've never won a championship, but I've listened to people that have won them, and guys that have been successful in the playoffs. You know, game seven basically comes down to if you know, if you're running a game and you're, say you're down by a goal or you're up by a goal in the second, late in the second period or early in the third, and if your team can score that goal, because the crowd is going to be in this ball game. It's a game seven. They're going to, as long as you can keep the crowd in the game, the Blues can. So, you know, they don't want to get down by two and have them sitting on their hands. If they can keep them riding the momentum, you know, start from the start of it, because it's going to be amped up in there the start of the game. So, you know, the Dallas Stars are sitting there saying, hey, we got to survive the first 5 minutes, the first 10 minutes, and then hopefully we can take the crowd out of the game. Well, the Blues need to keep this crowd going. So, you know, even if you don't score early, you're making big hits. Like the Sammy Blaze kid comes in, he starts making big hits, and the guys are running around and making big hits. That's huge to keep the crowd in this ballgame, because you're going to need this crowd in the second, third period. That's where the momentum swings for a home team.
Well, listen, I know your time's short today. We appreciate you coming on. I know hopefully, you know, if everybody's right here, we'll be doing a post round two victory show along with a semifinal preview show, and hopefully we can get everybody in studio this week and talk about it. But the one thing is for sure, this should be a crazy, crazy building tomorrow night, I'd have to believe.
Yeah, this is what it's all about, Chrome. This is exciting. So the town's got a little buzz going on in it, and the things are lining up. The stars are sort of lining up here for me. And that's pun intended right there, but I won't say that word. The clouds are lining up in favor of the Blues right now. So, you know, just to keep this thing going, they just need to get a game here and keep this thing going.
Well, I know fans were definitely excited to hear that Coach Henson has his chair next to yours down on Market. So as soon as I put my chair there, I'm purposely not putting my chair there because I'm the jinx. So I'll put my chair there after Rivs puts his chair there. How about that?
There you go. Yeah. Follow that man right now. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was going to say. I went to the boat with him and he put 100 on something. I'd back it up. That's for sure. But
yes, you would.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate it. I know your time is short. I know our fans love hearing from you, and I'll stay in touch with you then. I can tell people this all the time. It's so fun sometimes with our back techs of when things are going on in the games, but we'll see what game seven may be a good thread.
Yeah, hopefully none of the referees from the Kentucky Derby are there. All right,
I'm with you on that. I don't that cost me $1,000.
Yeah, that's terrible. I got to get rolling. So
see you, buddy. Take
Let's
care.
Go Blues.
Bye
bye.
The man, the myth, the legend, Darren Kimball. I'll tell you what, man, he keeps it real. You'll never ever question whether or not he's not going to tell you how he feels. And I know the fans love it. I tell you, very fortunate to have both those guys on the show each and every week. Well, listen, you know, the fan perspective here, which is all I can give you, is the excitement level should be off the charts. I can't say enough about how excited I am for the game as a fan, and I know you guys are too, and all you got to do is follow social media. Listen, and keep this in mind, folks. Everybody at some time or another gets frustrated with their team. Everybody at some time or another loses faith. Everybody, but you know, it doesn't mean they're not a fan. It doesn't mean they're not worthy. I mean, we all get frustrated, and it's no different than family members. Sports are like that sometimes. So, you know, listen, I it's not worth arguing. It's not worth fighting over. People get excited one way or the other, but the truth of the matter is we put ourselves in a position, and this is why you do it, right? This is why you play so hard in a regular season, to try to get that extra win, one extra win, two extra wins, whatever, to find yourself to have the ability to have a game seven at home. And let's face it, it should, and it better play to our momentum. And I would love to see the crowd dominate the game. And I think that would be a big thing. And as I said, you've heard from both guys numerous times since we've started the show years ago that it does matter to these guys. And, you know, sitting on your hands or getting all bent out of shape because you go down a goal and not getting engaged in the game, that's not going to do anybody any good. And, you know, I just hope it's a crazy place. That's my only ask. I'm not sure if I'll be there or not, but if I am, I'll be cheering like crazy because, you know, why wouldn't you? If you're going to go, you might as well go. So great stuff as always from both of our guests. And again, I thank them both for their contributions to this show, and I know the fans do as well. Going to take a minute here to remind you guys we're bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there. Find us on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and follow us, we'll follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook. As always, type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our page, click invite your friends. When you see our pinned post, typically that's going to be the show. Make sure you like it, comment on it, and share it. That helps us reach more Blues fans. A lot of you guys do it. We do appreciate it. Find us on Instagram as well, Blues NHL Podcast. And, of course, we are part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the great streaming platform for your mobile devices. You guys will love it. Take a minute to check out all of our supporters. Again, you've heard me talk about Randy Green, innovativecompanies.com, residential, commercial, industrial work. He's got you covered. Happy to have him a part of what we're doing because he is a tremendous person, tremendous human being, and he's earned an opportunity for your business for sure. So that's innovativecompanies.com, construction, heating and cooling, and electric. He's got you covered. Don't forget Adam Smokehouse. If you want the best barbecue in St. Louis, hit him up. That's Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Our friend Noel Buckingham with Buckingham Pest Services. Everybody needs pest control. Everybody needs pest service at some time or another. We're asking you to give Noel Buckingham a chance. Means a lot to us, would mean a lot to him. And, of course, he's a Blues fan, so why wouldn't you want to use Buckingham Pest Services? Remember, they don't kill penalties. They just kill pests and pass the savings along to you. Our friends at Nelson Land Services for all the work that they do out in the community, for the great work they do when it comes to landscaping. You guys should obviously check them out. NelsonLandServices.com, 5-star locally rated company with great, reasonable prices. And again, they do such great work. We appreciate them so much. SynergyHockeySkills.com, Jamie Rivers and his crew that do such great work for all the young kids in the community. And they're going to have that adult that adult camp, which should be great as well. But these partners mean a lot to us, and we hope you guys show them some support and some love, especially as we head into what's hopefully going to be a memorable season for the St. Louis Blues. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.